Before I jump in, man, can we just give another hand to the band this morning? I leaned over to Amanda this morning. And I was like, man, they are, I mean, that just blesses my heart. And I get the privilege of every Wednesday night following that. If y'all can hear me wherever y'all ran to, don't skip church. But I mean, they were just awesome. They put so much time and effort and prayer into worship service, and to see students using their gifts to honor and to serve the Lord, it just blesses my heart. Lauren Mertz, are you in here this morning? Where's Lauren at? She's what? I don't. Upstairs. Oh, hey, thanks for that photo. That's a shout out to Lauren. I stole that photo from Lauren, just so you guys know my PowerPoint. I wanted to give her credit. I didn't make that on my own. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be talking about better together. We just finished a series through the book of Joshua. Pastor Buddy just did a great job of really challenging us through the book of Joshua to move forward together. And as I was praying and preparing, this just kind of rang out in my heart as an exclamation point to that challenge and to that call to move forward together, that if we move forward together, we will truly be better together. We will be better and in more unity and closer to God if we do it together. You're going to hear that title a lot today, Better Together. This evening, we're going to have about 900 to 1,000 students filling this auditorium with a sense of worship and hearing the message of the gospel. We're going to start outside and come inside. And our event is called Better Together because we wanted to teach students that it's not about this church is better than this church. It's about the community of believers, the community of faith is better when Christians are together and serving and loving and working together. So before we jump into scripture, I was studying and I came across something just fascinating. The Redwood Forest in California. Has anybody seen the Redwood Forest in California? I used Google Earth. I saw the whole thing. It was amazing. I saw the top of the trees, but y'all, none of y'all done that. I saw the top of the trees and the bottom of the trees. But as I was studying, you know, I learned that these are the largest living things on Earth. They're the tallest trees on Earth. Some of them have reached over 300 feet tall. And to see these trees, you think, just what a tremendous root system. They had to go hundreds of feet into the earth. But in reality, that's not the case. What it is they have a very shallow root system. And their roots sprawl out. They intertwine. They interlock. So what happens when storms rage and seasons come and go and winds blow, they actually use the strength from each other to stand. They help sustain each other. And what a great picture as Christians, and that's what we need to have. That's why we're better together, because we get help to sustain and to find strength in our life. And that's a great picture of biblical community, is that we need to be there for each other, not to see how far we can go by ourselves, but to find strength in and with each other so we can grow, and we can grow as a community. Now, Acts chapter 2, we're going to read starting in verse 42. And as you're finding your way there, this is right after Peter preached Pentecost, thousands have accepted the Lord in faith. And then there's that now what? What do we do? We've accepted faith. Now what? Well, this is a great picture. This is the now what. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, thank you, Lord, just for being here this morning and just allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, you preach to me and through me, Lord, as we open up your word and see, you know, what the first biblical community, the first faith community did. Lord, as we can come together, draw community, draw strength, draw help and guidance, Lord, that we can all be focused back on you, Lord, that we can be a faith community, be a church that is aligned and focused on your will. Lord, I pray this morning that you just work in this place, work in the hearts of myself and everyone in here. Praise in your name. Amen. See, now our text reveals this morning that the very first faith community of believers gathered together on a regular basis. Church didn't just happen, but look at verse 44. All who believed were together. They on a regular basis, for study, for worship, for prayer, for fellowship, they made it a priority. They got together on a regular basis. Now, in the first century, it was very hard to be a Christian. You know, not just the trials and temptations, but persecution was rampant. You know, the early believers found themselves being bound together in fellowship and in faith. They found themselves in a community. The thing is, they needed each other. They absolutely needed each other because there's strength in numbers. There's strength in the faith community when we are together. Not the exact same, but it's kind of hard to follow Christ with our full life and heart today in our culture. You know, you look at the political climate, look at the economical, you know, climate. You look at, you know, the job force, you look at homes, marriages. I mean, you look at discouragement, temptation, sin, apathy, failure, materialism, unbelieving family and friends that we have to, you know, have relationships with, doubt, rejection, all these unanswered questions that we may have. We face so many obstacles in our everyday life to follow the Lord, and we still have a desire, but it does come with challenges. God never said there's not going to be any challenges, but we can find help through each other. In Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. The teaching of the apostles, what was that? That was the message of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the gospel. They devoted themselves to God's word. Not just by themselves, but together they devoted themselves to God's word, to coming together, to praying with and for each other, to fellowshipping with each other. That gospel was the gospel that Jesus Christ lived on this earth, died on the cross for all of our sins, my sin, your sin, their sin, everyone's sin. He covered it with the blood from the cross, and they devoted themselves to that teaching. But they did it together. They didn't do it in isolation. They did it in community. And that's my first point, is that we are better together in community. Excuse me. In his book, The Connecting Church, author Randy Frazee writes this. I'm going to read this quote. It says, "The experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of Scripture lead one to conclude that God intends the church not to be one more bolt on the wheel in your life, but to be the very hub and center of one's life." The church, the local community of believers, is essential to your spiritual well-being, to my spiritual well-being. In the New Testament, there are no lone rangers. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Believers needed each other, and God expected them to be there for each other, just like he expects us to be there for each other. Now, this is also true in Hebrews 10:25, to not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but let us encourage one another. God has a purpose of putting us together. Church is just not a good idea. Church is not something to fill your calendar with if there's space. Church is a command and a heart focus for God. He wants and draws us together. We need each other. We need that community. We absolutely need that community. And these people, Luke tells us that all believers were one heart and mind. They were united in Christ to the point where their minds were not focused on self, but were focused outward on others. That's the mind of Christ. Christ, his mind is so focused on others that when he came to this earth, it was not to be served, but to serve. He came to earth for the whole purpose of drawing people together by way of the cross. There's one way that we enter into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and the cross. That's a great way to draw people together, is there's one way, and y'all come together and follow me. Now, as we are better together in community, my second point is our strength is better together. And I'm just going to give you a little glimpse into my life. There was one time I was going through some stuff, like we all have. You know, just you think everything's going fine, and then, you know, a family situation happens, and then stuff just stacks on top of that. And you just kind of feel like you're in this kind of emotional and mental quicksand, the spiritual quicksand. You just don't know how to get out, and you're trying everything you can on your own, and it's just impossible in your mind. And I remember there was a question that was asked me by two people in this church, Pastor Buddy and Al Willis. Al, wherever Al is, shout out to Al. But there's this question they asked. It's not so much the question, but here's my point. It was the heart behind it. They asked this question: how are you doing? How are you doing? Not with the it wasn't like, you know, I always tell students, don't ask how you're doing as you're walking late to class down the hallway. It's like how you doing? All right, see you later. You don't really care. But when I was confronted, and I felt the love, and it was, how are you doing? It wasn't, tell me what I want to hear. It was, tell me so I can help. Tell me so I can pray. Don't stand on your own, because you don't have to. I'm here. And I remember when that question was asked, I broke. I just broke. And I thought, God used these men to speak into my life. God used the strength of these men to fill up my strength tank. I was not doing it on my own. As your life comes into these trials and tribulations, whether it's work, home, marriage, finances, you do not have to go it alone. In fact, God does not want you to go it alone. There is encouragement and empowerment through the church and through the people of the church. Lean on one another. Find strength. Draw strength from one another. Now, I'll tell you this funny story. My little brother, Aaron, he's as big, as tall as he is round, but he's not here, so I can say that. But he'll probably watch it on the internet. But, you know, he was a football player in high school. He used to always say, I can't do a lot well, but I can run straight and I can hit hard. And that works well for linemen. So what Aaron did as a senior in high school, he is a proud young man of being the strongest lineman on the team. On the internet, there's a clip of him lifting a car, so he's stronger than me. But him and this other lineman had this challenge: who could lift the most reps on the bench press? I don't remember the exact weight, but they were next to each other. The whole team was around them, and the coach counted off, and it was 1, 2, 3, go. And they were just seeing how many reps, who could do the most reps. So he's sweating, his eyes are closed, he's just trying to breathe, concentrate, up and down, up and down, up and down. But what he doesn't realize is he gets done, and then his arms are just shaking, and he's like, and the spotter's like, you got it? He's like, I got it. He did one, and he goes, I can't do anymore. He went to lift, and he could not do anymore. His arms were just jello. Next to him, he hears clank, clank, clank. He's like, are you kidding me? I know I'm stronger than this guy. And then he gets up, wipes the sweat from his face. He goes, there is no way you're stronger than me. And he goes, you're right, but the three of us are. The whole time they're lifting weights, there was one guy on each end of the other weight bench just picking it up. Just doing it. There's one guy here, one guy there. And it was easy. They're like, we could go all day. The thing is as Christians, we're stronger when we're together. We can lift more. We can do more. We can move forward further when we draw our strength from each other. Now, the psalmist David in Psalm 61:2. Now, David, we know David, and he's had his fair share of difficult and painful times, and sometimes times where his faith even wavered. But in Psalm 61, verse 2, he cried out to God, I call to you, and as my heart grows faint. He's overwhelmed by the trials, by the struggle. He's overwhelmed. In verse 5, he rejoiced because God answers his plea. He said, you have given to me, he said, the heritage of those who fear your name. God had strengthened David's faith through other believers. David drew strength from God, from God's people. What a great picture of the church. When we need strength, we don't go out to an outside source. We come here. We draw strength on our knees, together, in community, through his word, as we share our heart, share our life with each other. You know, there's just times in our life, to be quite honest, we can't afford to stand alone. You know, through those mountaintop times, through the celebration times in our life, we can just stand up and we think we've done it. But usually if you're not in a storm, you're on your way to one. We can't afford to stand alone. It is so difficult in our world today to be by yourself, and yet sometimes pride does not want to let people in. You don't want to share your struggles because you don't know what they're going to think about you. You don't know what they're going to say about you to somebody else. Come to church. Find people that you have a community with through Jesus. And that's who you share your struggles with. Not necessarily the guy or the lady in the cubicle next to you or that lady across the street who knows everybody's business in the neighborhood. We all have one of those. But you find strength and support and help through people in God's family. That's the key word, family. We find our strength in our family. In verse 44, sorry, I get ahead of myself. Well, in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. See, my third point is, we are better together when we serve together. When our hearts and our minds are focused on the same thing, which is God's will, which is God's path, which is leading, directing, and finding people to bring to Jesus. We have a lot of programs here at church. Here's the great thing about our church's programs. There's one central theme that lines up every single one of them. That's Jesus. That center column that lines up the worship ministry, Awana's, Kid City, Kid Country, the youth, you know, Joy Fellowship, and every other ministry is Jesus. So when we serve, we're better for it. And when we're better for it, we serve more. Thing is, the greatest part about coming to church is not necessarily always sitting in the pew. It's about reaching and teaching and helping and serving and connecting with people in this building. People that come from the community and come in. Serving Jesus is so rewarding. And you are better when you serve. I was challenged as a young man to, when I was questioning church and questioning faith, one of my mentors told me this. He goes, why don't you try coming to church as a participator, not a spectator? Don't come to critique. Come to serve. Don't come to whine. Come to worship. So I tried that. And, well, long story short, good morning. There's just so much more in life. Not that the world has to offer. Nothing the world has to offer it has any value of any substance that can go on past that exact moment. It's a flash in the pan. The entertainment, all that stuff that the world has to offer is just a flash in the pan. But when you connect to the community, you draw strength from one another, and you serve the church, and you serve Jesus, that's something that just keeps on rewarding and blessing you, and then you just get more energy and more excitement to keep on serving. You know, there are so many times that in those hallways, our pastors talk to people, and it's a smiling face, it's the friendly handshakes that allow them to come sit down, that draws them to come and sit down with one of the pastors and talk to them. It's not some elaborate scheme or some fascinating program that we have. It's the fact that they felt welcomed. They felt loved. They felt that there's a sense of strength that's not from my own. Now, when we draw strength from God, we share that with other people, and that shows them God's love. We have that opportunity. Because we are better together when we serve together. And my fourth point is that there is better help when we are together. Now, I said this before, but the church, the faith community, is crucial to our spiritual well-being. Absolutely crucial. It's not a good idea. It's a necessity. We have to have it. It's a lifeline. We need it for guidance in our life, to help direct us, and sometimes to help correct us in our life. When you get guided and you get encouraged and you get corrected by someone in God's family, it's because their heart goes out for you and they want you to be the best person God wants you to be. They want you to follow God. They want to encourage you. I know as a kid, when you got corrected, that's a different kind of correction. You know, your parents, if you were lucky, you got grounded. And that was just like this prolonging agony of just quietness. And you're like, I don't like this. I want the quick, let's get paddled and let's move on. But as a Christian, when you get corrected, it's not necessarily always to punish you. It's to help you. Because sometimes if you're walking down the wrong path, you need someone to turn you around, remind you of what God has done for you, what God is doing with you, and what God has for you. We need to be corrected sometimes. We need to be guided sometimes. And the thing is sometimes that comes from people within the church. Sometimes that may come through a sermon, or that may come through a meeting in an office. But we need that. We desperately need that, because when we have that, that's help from people that actually care. Who's ever got advice from someone you know doesn't care about you? Because usually that advice leans towards their value. They get something out of it. But when you get wisdom and guidance and advice from God's people, God's going to get something out of it. And ultimately, you will be blessed for it. Psalm 73:24 says, the psalmist says, "You shall guide me with your counsel." The thing is we're not supposed to be on our own. You know, God doesn't save you to silence you and to let you walk blindingly. He wants to guide your life. He wants to guide your life. Ephesians 3:10 declares that God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. How are we going to know more about God, more about Jesus, more about what God's word has to say? I don't have to be married. Or no, that's not right. Let me back up. I don't have to go home to be married. But it's a good idea. It's a good idea. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian. But it's a wonderful idea if you do, because that's where God has created the church, has created the biblical community, the faith community, to draw strength, to draw support, to draw help, to draw guidance. There are some places in the world that don't have the opportunities that we have. When you look at the blessing of a building that God's provided, what a thing to be thankful for. But there are some places in the world they don't have this building. This building, at one point, wasn't here. There's a different building. Maybe one day this building will be bigger, or this building will be something and somewhere else. But this is the church. And we need to come together. We need to be unified, strengthened, supported by each other so we can focus and follow and move forward together for Jesus. That's the biblical command. That's what God desires for us to do. You don't fight the good fight. You don't run the race on your own. As a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have your brothers and sisters next to you. And that's how we run the race. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now here's a bold truth. Without a doubt, sin deceives. We've all could raise our hand and say, yes, I've been deceived by sin. The thing is sin will promise you way more than it'll ever deliver. My old youth pastor used to tell me this. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. That's so true. How do we avoid that? When we're struggling, when we're hurting, whether it's a personal, a family, a financial, we need to lean on each other for help. Remember those redwoods? They were interlocked, intertwined, connected. When those storms raged, they didn't let go and disconnect. They remained interlocked, intertwined. And it wasn't just their strength that helped them sustain. It's each other's. And that's what we need as Christians. We need to remain together. There's two paths we can choose every day. Follow your own or follow God's. Every morning when you wake up, there's two directions you can go. Follow your own or follow God's. Sometimes we try to prolong that decision depending on how well we do, but it never fails. Every day that same decision arises very first thing. And when you try to do it on your own, you're never going to make the right decision. Because our old sinful nature comes into play. When you think you can do it on your own without God's people, what you're saying is, God, I can do it on my own without you. Now, here's the fun part about church. There's also comes times where there's disagreements. There's frustrations. You know, there's better help when we're together, but sometimes we're not always that well together. Here's why. You're all sinners. That's why we're all sinners. I could be like, hey, look at your neighbor and say, hey, it's okay, you're a sinner. Look at your neighbor and tell them, hey, I know that you're a sinner. It's no longer a secret. It's no longer a secret. But here's the thing. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's saved sinners and there's lost sinners. When we accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that our old sinful nature has just completely, like we're just, you know, we wake up, I never struggle again. My heart is so full of joy. My heart is so full of peace. I'm about to bell kick my way to work. I don't even need a car anymore. I don't need anything. I'm just walking on streets of gold. Struggles, pain, temptation still come because we still live in a sin-filled world. But God reminds us through his people, we can draw together in community. We can find strength. We can find help. And that all points back to God. So it helps us, reminds us, when we have difficulties in church, before you look across the aisle, before you look at the other person, we always need to look at ourselves. Like, God, what do I need help with? What do I need guided with? What do I need directed with? What do I need corrected? Help me, guide me, direct me. See, our church can be kind of like a family of porcupines. Now, don't get offended I called you a porcupine, but hang with me. There's a famous philosopher, Schopenhauer, who used this illustration. But these porcupines are together in this frozen field. A group of porcupines are together in this frozen field. As the winds blow and the night gets even colder, they can't burrow in the ground. It's frozen. As they come together, their quills are poking each other. And some, because of the pain, draw away from the group to sleep alone. In the morning, they were frozen to death. But the ones who remained together, even through some of the discomfort, were able to move forward the next day and move forward the next day. The point is when you get a group of people from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different, you know, mindsets, different ideas, you're going to have to work through some stuff. What we need to be focused on is Not is it my idea, is it my way, but what does Jesus want? If we're going to move forward together like our pastor challenged us, it's not about, I have an idea how we can move forward together. No, let's be better together. Let's God, what do you want us to do to move forward together? Just as God directed Joshua, that's who we're seeking our guidance from. When we follow Pastor Buddy, we're following him because he's following God. His leadership depends on how well he follows. And from firsthand, I see a man that devotes himself to prayer and to study and to reading and seeking direction from God. And when we come behind that, we're no longer a church that just opens its doors to come and invite you to sit down, but we're a church that ministers, serves, prays, worships, loves. We reach outside of the doors that we open to connect people to the gospel. In closing, we were created for community. We were absolutely created for community. The journey of life and faith is often so trying and difficult. We have to remind ourselves we cannot go it alone. We need to be together. We need community. Again, discouragement, this relentless attack of temptation, debilitating sin that can enter into our life, doubts, ridicule, our weaknesses, burdens, these unanswered questions, these ideas of being rejected. God has given us the family of God. He's given us each other to draw, to connect, to love, to support. It's an absolute necessity and essential to our life to draw source, to draw strength and guidance. Ephesians 2:19 reminds us that as a result of our relationship with Christ, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, separated from God, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. When we come together, we're no longer, as Christians, we're no longer citizens. This world, we are foreigners. We are citizens of heaven. We are part of God's family. And that should be on the front of our mind as we do everything in our life. You know, church is a great place. You find special areas of minister to use your gifts, use your talents. Like these students were playing and, you know, leading us in worship. I can't even hold a guitar correctly. But yeah, we have young people coming up in church, having these abilities and these talents, they could be using them everywhere else. But instead, they're here using them to lead in worship, to show a thankful heart and an open heart to God's Spirit. What an awesome thing to see young people do that. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the community of faith. The thing is they devoted themselves to fellowship. That's not just a great thing we read about that first community, but that's a challenge to us. We need to devote ourselves to the fellowship. So here's my challenge this morning. Your priority on church and faith community should be a high priority, not a when I can priority. Your priority on church and faith should be a high priority, not a when I can priority. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pass the invitation off to Pastor Buddy. But this morning, I've been talking to mainly believers here this morning about what to do as you are better together in that biblical community, part of a church. But the greatest relationship you'll ever have is relationship with Jesus. You'll never be whole until you have a relationship with Jesus. Now, Bible says that Jesus came, lived on this earth, died on the cross, 3 days later, rose from the grave, and in doing that, he paid for the sins of all mankind. When he was on the cross, that was him saying, I love you. And if you accept this, I forgive you. Now, there's one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus. And Scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is saying, there is a door. There is a way. to eternal relationship with God, and it's through me. When you accept that, that's the greatest relationship that you'll ever have. And then because of that relationship, then we can draw together. And when we draw together, we're better when we are together. So I'm going to close in prayer as Pastor Buddy comes up to open the invitation. Dear Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I ask, as you work in my heart and the hearts of those here, Lord, that we can be challenged to set your design and your will for faith community as a high priority. Lord, we can draw together. We can find community. We can find strength. We can find help and support. And we can serve. But Lord, is there anyone in here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior? Lord, I just ask and pray, Lord, that you work in their heart today. Lord, you allow them just an opportunity to respond, to come down, to pray, to speak to one of the pastors. But anyone in here that's struggling, well, maybe there's some difficulties in some relationships. Maybe there's some severed or some broken relationships inside the faith community. Lord, I just pray that we can draw together and we can be better for it, Lord. And we can, as we draw together, we can move forward to focus and to bring you glory. Lord, cross your name. Amen.